Radio Prague News.
Social Democrats at Prague City Hall have offered the post of mayor to Top 09 should they form a coalition together. President Václav Klaus has ratified a part of the government's health and welfare reform bills. And the Daily MF Dnes says psychology experts agree that Education Minister Josef Dobeš should not have received a degree for his poor thesis work. Social Democrats at Prague City Hall have offered the mayoral seat to Top 09 should they form a coalition together. Deputy Mayor and Social Democrat Karel Březina told reporters on Tuesday that his party's aim would be preventing a right-wing coalition in City Hall following the unexpected breakup of the city's grand coalition on Monday evening. The Civic Democratic Party initiated the breakup, saying the current coalition's policies would result in enormous debts for the capital. Social Democrats say the decision was the result of disputes within the Civic Democratic Party. Top 09 was the overall winner of the last local election, but was sidestepped by the other two parties, which formed a coalition without them. Top 09 says it will negotiate with both parties and demands the removal of certain unnamed individuals from the economic and personnel sections. President Václav Klaus has ratified part of the government's health and welfare reform bills. The legislation had been rejected by the left-controlled Senate and was passed again in the lower house only after several days of filibustering by opposition parties. The health reforms cover a number of areas, for example, allowing patients access to all of their medical records, regulating artificial insemination and banning human cloning, and allowing paramedics to enter buildings without permission and demand the assistance of bystanders. The social welfare reforms include dole payments being made only by the Labour Office, and unemployment support will depend on the fulfillment of 20 hours a week community service for those unemployed for more than 2 months. Tuesday's Mladá Fronta Dnes quotes a number of experts who criticize the master's thesis in psychology submitted and defended by Education Minister Josef Dobeš in 1994 at Masaryk University in Brno. The experts approached by the newspaper agreed that the thesis was, quote, poor, shallow, and should not have been accepted for defense. Mr. Dobeš's thesis supervisor was Professor Vladimir Smekal, his current advisor at the ministry. Mr. Dobeš has dismissed the criticism. In an interview for the same daily last week, the education minister said that higher standards should be set for admission of students to universities. The region of Moravia Silesia has seen a marked decrease in its population over the last 20 years, the Czech Statistical Office has pointed out. Since 1991, some 40,000 inhabitants have moved out of the country's easternmost region, primarily in search of jobs, bringing the population there down to 1.25 million. Nearly a third of those who left moved out of the country altogether. Moreover, the trend seems to be increasing, with a dramatic hike in emigration from the region since 2009. Formerly the most populous region in the Czech Republic, the Moravia-Silesia region now has the lowest population in its recorded history. Now turning briefly to the weather, the coming days should be mostly clear, with daytime temperatures just above the freezing point. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's show, it's the end of the road for the Grand Coalition in Prague. We'll look at what's behind the bust-up. And the ugliest of the ugly, a communist-era apartment block, is demolished for aesthetic reasons. And in today's main feature, we look at a less well-known chapter of the country's history, the founding of Wilson City in 1919. All that coming up, so please do stay with us. The Grand Coalition of Civic and Social Democrats at Prague City Hall is about to end a year after it assumed power. In a surprise move, the Civic Democrats in the capital on Tuesday announced they were leaving the ruling bloc, justifying the step by budgetary and personal issues. However, the unconvincing explanation has given rise to wide-ranging speculation about the real reason behind the reshuffle. Jan Richter has the story.
The local elections in October last year saw the defeat of the Civic Democrats in Prague for the first time since the fall of communism. But the party still managed to retain the post of mayor thanks to a deal with the Social Democrats that left the winning Topo 9 party out in the cold. In part, the Civic Democrats succeeded because they nominated a respected figure, Bohuslav Svoboda, for the post, in an attempt to cut themselves off from the corrupt practices of the past. But now, a year later, the Civic Democrats seem to have had a change of heart. They no longer consider the Social Democrats a viable coalition partner at Prague City Hall. Boris Šťastný is the head of the party's Prague branch.
In the long run, there have been discrepancies between the Civic Democrats and Social Democrats in Prague. The coalition has not been fully functional, and there have been serious misgivings between the two parties. The final straw was a debt trap, which now threatens the capital because of the Social Democrats.
However, none of the reasons presented by Mr. Šťastný seem credible. It is true that the Social Democrats are probably more generous with city finances, and one of their leaders in Prague faces a trial over a clash of interests. But that's nothing the Civic Democrats would not have known before, as political analyst Peter Just points out.
We have to maybe lean a little bit to the explanation which arose during the night and also in the morning today, that the major purpose of all these changes is actually to strengthen the position of the wing of Civic Democratic Party, which is against the current mayor. And it's reality that Mr. Svoboda has been several times attacked by the ODS members who were kind of afraid that Mr. Svoboda's position could, for example, block some of the public contracts that have been on the table since the previous administration.
The Civic Democrats now want to negotiate a new coalition with the election winner, Topo 9. But that would be the end of Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda, which might well be the ultimate objective of the move. When asked by reporters whether infighting within his own party was behind the decision to end the Grand Coalition, Mayor Svoboda had this to say.
All I can say is that it is well possible that the mayor is the one who's in someone's way. I can also say that it might be related to a huge city cleanup tender. The problem might be that I or we don't agree with the tender in its current form.
The coalition is to formally end within 30 days, but all three parties represented in Prague City Hall, the Civic Democrats, Topo 9 and the Social Democrats, will immediately start talks to determine the city's future government.
Jan Richter with the latest from Prague City Hall. Prefabricated apartment blocks known in the Czech Republic as paneláky, panel buildings, were once the Soviet ideal, and countless thousands were built in Czechoslovakia in the years between 1950 and 1989. Now, for the first time, one such block of homes will be demolished, strictly for aesthetic reasons. The southeast Bohemian town of Havlíčkův Brod has confirmed that a low-rise smack in the town centre, considered an eyesore for years, will soon be a thing of the past, Jan Wellinger reports.
Ugly, grey, drab. All easily describe paneláky, the prefab apartment blocks once considered the height of modernity and design in communist Czechoslovakia. New homes for a brighter future. At least that's what inhabitants must have thought.
V roce 1960 bude v tomto sídlišti Podžatická bydlit 40 tisíc lidí.
In reality, though, all too often such buildings were poorly considered and ill-placed, permanently scarring or destroying historic quarters in Czech towns, like Havlíčkův Brod. Now, 22 years after the fall of the Iron Curtain, this town is at least partly trying to turn back the clock, or to undo some of the damage done. The apartment building in question is a three-floor structure found only meters away from smaller buildings, including a 16th-century Renaissance home, a jarring concrete slab that cuts directly through what were previously small, historic streets. Libor Honzarek, a local councilman, says that while prefab buildings were needed in the past, no town deserved this.
Prefab apartments were the answer in socialist Czechoslovakia, and they weren't a problem when built on the periphery. But later, the dominant idea became to replace the old with the new, to destroy what were considered rotting foundations with something modern for young families. By tearing this building down, it is my hope that Havlíčkův Brod will get back something it lost, and inhabitants will once again have reason to take pride in their town.
The process, of course, was not easy. Before it could move forward with any plans, the town needed to first secure new apartments for the building's inhabitants, and some, not surprisingly, complained it was not an easy decision to leave. All the same, Libor Honzarek argues the residents eventually came around. The councilman once again.
We saw the problem of moving as a very sensitive one, and one that took 2 or 3 years to resolve. We had to make a wide range of homes owned by the town available for consideration, and while when the time came many were set to move out, some since have said they are very happy with the homes they got.
The date for the demolition, November the 22nd, has been set and the die is cast. The building is now almost ready, and its metal will be recycled and panels pulverized. As for the future of the site once the building is gone, well, that hasn't been determined yet. Revitalization plans will be commissioned, possibly for a new site that could serve community purposes. The main criteria being that whatever is built, it will have to blend in far more tastefully than the building which preceded it.
Jan Wellinger with that story. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, in this week's edition of Czech History, Christian Falvey covers a less well-known chapter of the country's history. Chances are you may never have heard of Wilson City in the heart of Europe.
Welcome to Wilsonstadt, an independent Central European city of 400,000 Germans and Hungarians and a few Slovaks thrown in for good measure. Named after U.S. President Woodrow Wilson in 1919, after successfully avoiding annexation by Czechoslovakia and an impossible number of other would-be conquests, it's a prosperous provincial town on the Danube, though plagued by poor relations with its neighbors. In the thought experiments of alternative history, this is where one of the stranger corridors leads. In real life, Wilsonovo Mesto never got a chance. Before it could even be given the name, it was overrun by Czechoslovak troops in early 1919. The capital of the Slovak and Hungarian end of the country was relocated there, and a month later it was officially renamed Bratislava. The city that is today the capital of the Slovak Republic has been known by many names in the past. Once the capital and the most important center of Hungary, it was called Pozsony. To the German speakers who had always lived there, it was Pressburg. 100 years past all that, though, and some Slovaks still like to dream about what might have been. Among them is the acclaimed writer Michal Voretsky, whose short story, The Worst Crime in Wilsonov, draws on just such an alternative reality.
The novelette about Wilsonstadt in my book, this was my second book, collection of short stories, and the idea was very fascinating for me at that time when Slovakia became very isolated from the West and from the world. It was a very closed country. It was very populistic, very nationalistic. Our government was frustrating for me, and I somehow rediscovered this idea of Wilson City from the beginning of Czechoslovakia, and I became fascinated by it. And it's a story which is sort of alternative history of the city where I was born and the city which I love so much. The idea is that it's the year 1923, and Wilson City is still existing. Like, the history went a bit different, and something is different. It's the usual, you know, science fiction twist. And it's an independent, multicultural city, and the Czechoslovakia is, so to say, a neighboring country, and it's an independent state.
Thank you. Czechs tend to think about the creation of Czechoslovakia as not only a bloodless event, but one of universal amity that led to a golden era. And for Czechs at least, it probably was. Jan Rychlík of the Institute of Czech History completes the picture.
First Republic was somehow idealized, like as a paradise lost, which it certainly wasn't. Definitely it was not the paradise for the minorities, but it was not also the hell for the minorities. Again, compared with situation of the minorities in Poland, for instance, or Hungary, or Romania, it was very liberal. It doesn't mean, of course, that we should hide that there were many mistakes and many problems.
Upon its glorious foundation, more than one-third of the inhabitants of Czechoslovakia were neither Czech nor Slovak. They were openly hostile to the idea of the new state, and Professor Rychlík says there was little reason from their point of view to welcome it.
We must understand that the Kingdom of St. Steve, Kingdom of Hungary, existed here for 1,000 years. And for most of the people, of course, Hungarians and probably local Germans, but also for many Slovaks too, it was something very difficult to understand that this state came to the end and that they should be part of the new state of which they had nothing to do with it in the past. So I think it was more of the psychological nature. And especially Bratislava, as it is called now, or Presburg, as it was called on those days, or Pozsony in Hungarian, had also the mixed population and the Slovaks were in minority. So it was an idea of local Hungarian and German population to have something like a free city, as was later Gdańsk, or after the Second World War, there was an attempt to establish Trieste as an open city. This project simply is a curiosity. The name of the city was proposed to be changed to Wilsonia, Wilson City, to commemorate Wilson's 14th point of 1918.
There are several versions of why the name of Wilson City was proposed. Some sources say it was the result of pressure from the Slovak community in the United States. Others pragmatically assume it was an unabashed attempt at flattery in order to win a strong ally for the city's independence. Whether President Woodrow Wilson himself had any idea that such a tribute was in the making, we do not know. Apparently, the trash dump of history also includes some official materials bearing the name of Wilsonovo Mesto that were actually printed before the idea met its inevitable end.
For the Czechoslovak government, this was unacceptable totally, because then simply they would first of all lose the port on the Danube, very important port and very important center of Western Slovakia. So once the Czechoslovak army established control over all Slovakia, which was at the end of 1918, on the Christmas Eve, by the way, they reached Košice and established control over the territory. They decided that the Slovak regional authorities, led by Minister for Slovakia, Vavro Šrobár, should move from Žilina to Bratislava, which happened on the 4th of February. It should be noted that Hungarian and German population didn't welcome the Czechoslovak authorities. There was a general strike and also the mass demonstrations, which then gendarmerie and army crushed using open fire. And there were also 9 people shot.
No rubber bullets, pepper spray, or flash grenades for breaking up demonstrations in 1919. With the attack on the demonstration, the Czechoslovak army put a definitive end to the idea of Bratislava's independence. The killing of the 9, or some say 15, demonstrators was not the only such incident that accompanied the founding of Czechoslovakia.
Well, of course, you must understand that demonstrations on those days were very violent, because who were those demonstrations? Usually the young, soldiers who returned from the First World War. So it was, of course, a very sad incident, but that was how it was working on those days. There were much more accidents like that in Czechoslovakia between 1918 and 1920 on various places.
On the opposite end of the nascent country, in Most, on the German border, Sudeten Germans took to the streets when the Czech authorities forbade their participation in elections to the Austrian parliament. The resulting confrontation with the Czechoslovak army on March 4th of 1919 left 54 people dead, almost 100 injured, and permanently worsened relations with Germany. Amid the tension, there were even considerations of whether to keep the Hungarian-populated part of southern Slovakia.
We know that President Masaryk hesitated whether this was a good idea to acquire this territory. He even gave interview to one Hungarian newspaperman, and then he denied it because it was almost a political scandal. He personally probably understood that Czechoslovakia acquired too much, more than it could stomach. But of course, probably no state voluntarily is giving up part of its territory. And we should, on the other hand, know one thing, that simply in these regions to establish ethnically correct border is practically impossible. When in 1938, after the first Vienna Arbitrary Award of 2nd of November 1938, these territories were transferred to Hungary, it didn't help much. Because, of course, now there were few Hungarians in Slovakia. But on the other hand, there was a 500,000 Slovak minority in Hungary, which was not satisfied either, and which was much more oppressed in Hungary than Hungarians in Czechoslovakia. So to establish here a just border was practically impossible anyway, in 1919 or in 1938 or any time.
But back to Wilson City. Could the alternative history have worked out somehow, or was it doomed to failure from the outset?
I think that this was simply a vain attempt which couldn't work in the circumstances, because Hungary was a defeated country and simply the project had no support. Economically, probably it would be feasible, but not politically, because Hungary never gave up their claims simply to acquire this part of the country.
So it simply wouldn't have worked
diplomatically. It wouldn't work. They would probably accept it as a temporal solution, but certainly it wouldn't be a permanent solution. Of course, we know that in his history, no solutions are permanent. They may be
Seemingly permanent
from the point of view of the human life. But I think that Hungary probably, as soon as they would have the possibility, would question this project. More important, probably it had no support from the big powers of those days, of France and Great Britain. They were the decision-making powers of 1919.
In any case, it's a fascinating dead-end road of history that people still like to look down and wonder. There is still a Wilson Street in Bratislava, an annual Wilsonov music festival that harkens back to the fated plan, and Michal Hvoretsky's ghoulish short story about the worst crime in Wilsonov is soon to be turned into a feature-length Czech and Slovak motion picture. He explains that the idea of Wilson City is a part of a movement of recovering part of the lost spirit of the city.
Well, I think lost dream of multiculturalism which we had here, you know, and this language spoken here. Still in between the wars, it was normal to switch from German to Hungarian or later to Slovak on one day, in one family. And this is something we almost totally lost after the Second World War, and especially after the communist regime started, because they supported just this idea of a national state, first the Czechoslovak nation, later the Slovak nation. And, you know, we killed most of our Jews. We sent away the Germans. We moved Hungarians more to the south, to the countryside, or even behind the Danube River. And the major part of history of Bratislava simply disappeared. And I think for many people, it's quite attractive to try to find a connection point. And lots of activities in the fields of art, in the fields of architecture, are somehow rediscovering this world we destroyed. And I think somehow Wilsonstadt is a part of this. It's part of this movement.
Writer Michal Voretsky ending that edition of Czechs in History prepared and presented by Christian Falvey. Now, in the remaining time we have, we're offering you another Czech lesson. In view of its enormous popularity, Radio Prague is repeating its Soundcheck mini-series, and today's lesson is with Pavla Horáková.
To všechno odnes čas.
You are listening to Soundcheck, Radio Prague's program in which you can learn Czech idioms with the help of songs. Today we'll be listening to a song from the 1960s called To všechno odnes čas, or Time Took It All Away, sung by the legendary singer Valdemar Matuška. Today's featured phrase is Hlavu za to dám.
Hlavu za to dám, že nevrátí se nikdy k nám to,
co všechno odnes čas.
The song is about a man who was long ago forced to become a sailor, but now he's back from the high seas and has married a beautiful girl from a ranch. Valdemar Matuška sings that To všechno odnes čas, time took all that away, and adds Hlavu za to dám, že nevrátí se nikdy k nám. He will bet his life or wager his head that whatever time took away won't ever come back. The word čas means time, hlava is head.
Hlavu za to dám, že nevrátí se nikdy k nám to,
co všechno odnes čas.
You may remember hearing a similar expression on this program some time ago, krk za to dám, I will wager my neck. It means the same as hlavu za to dám. I'm so certain that I'm right that I'm willing to put my life on the line about it. Another way of expressing your certainty about something is to say vsadím boty, I'll bet my shoes, or vsadím kalhoty, I'll wager my trousers. You can even say ať se propadnu, may I fall through the floor if I'm mistaken. But back to our phrase, hlavu za to dám.
Hlavu za to dám, že nevrátí se nikdy k nám to,
co všechno odnes čas.
Please note that in the song, Valdemar Matuška uses colloquial Czech. So rather than saying to všechno odnesl čas, he uses the central Bohemian dialect to všechno odnes čas. He drops the L in the past tense of the verb odnést, to carry away, and inserts a V at the beginning, changing odnesl into vodnes. The V at the beginning of the word is used in colloquial Czech to prevent a glottal stop. That's all for today's lesson, which is also available in text on Radio Prague's website, radio.cz. Naschledanou. Pavla Horáková with that edition of Soundcheck, and you will find the entire Soundcheck series at www.radio.cz, along with all of Radio Prague's programs in text and sound. And I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care.